If we go together. Written by Mardia. Read by Mistborn Hero. A leverage perfect rated 14 and up audiences, featuring the relationship Alec Hardison, Parker, Elliot, and the characters Nathan Ford and Sophie Devereaux. It is tagged for Hurt Comfort, Werewolves, Post Case. Summary. Today, the fact that Sophie, Elliot, and Parker are all werewolves is very, very relevant. Almost as relevant as the stab wound in Hardison's stomach. It isn't that Hardison ever forgets that most of his team is made up of werewolves. It is a basic fact of the team, and Hardison's never going to forget the times when Elliot flashed his fangs at him. The way that Parker sniffs before running through an itinerary of the last 15 places he's been. How Sophie knows all of his tales without even looking at him. All because she can hear his heart beating across the room. It is just that there are times when it is relevant, and times when it's not really relevant at all. Today, the fact that Sophie, Elliot, and Parker are all werewolves is very, very relevant. Almost as relevant as the stab wound in Hardison's stomach. The first thing Hardison is aware of as he is groggily waking up after the surgery is Nate's voice sharply saying, "Elliot, enough! You need to change back!" There is a low growl, the bass seeming to reverberate in Hardison's gut, and Hardison forces his eyes to open because that's Elliot. Elliot in wolf form, which almost never happens in front of humans, and his head is full of cotton in his stomach. His stomach is... And then Hardison remembers. He remembers Manox coming after him, his face twisted in a snarl, and the knife glinting in his hand as he... "Oh, shit," Hardison groans out, and everyone in the room snaps to attention. "Hardison, are you alright?" Sophie's face is above his now, beautiful and worried, and Nate to the other side of Hardison's bed. Bed. Right, he must be in a hospital because he got freaking stabbed by the mark. And Hardison blinks up at Nate's face and asks, his voice slurring a little, "So, which of your plans had this as a possible outcome?" Nate's mouth twists, but before he can answer, there's a louder growl coming from the foot of the bed, and before Hardison can ask for Elliot to chill, a big brown blur is bounding onto the bed, over Nate's protests, and there is a giant brown wolf poking its nose right into Hardison's face. Cross-eyed, Hardison stares up into those bleak blue eyes and says very carefully, "Hi, Elliot." Elliot huffs into his face and continues to ostentatiously sniff at him, poking his cool nose into the nape of Hardison's neck, somehow managing to keep his paws and weight of Hardison. Thank the Lord, because getting accidentally clawed by a wolf is right up there on the things Hardison is not looking forward to, right under getting stabbed. Speaking of, someone please tell me Manox is locked up in jail right now, or he got thrown off a roof. I'd be good with either. Elliot lets out another growl, which is more terrifying by a factor of N when he's right in your face, snarling openly enough that you would get a glimpse of those fangs, and Hardison freezes again, finally getting out. A little help here, maybe? Just give him a minute, Sophie says soothingly, which is not the answer Hardison is looking to hear when he's got an aggravated werewolf sitting on top of him, growling like he's personally offended by Hardison having the nerve to get stabbed. Which, come to think of it, is probably what Elliot thinks. Hardison blinks up at Elliot and says, seriously, "You ain't blaming me for this one." Elliot waffs again, in clear irritation, over Sophie insisting, "Of course he doesn't blame you, Hardison. That's ridiculous, isn't it, Elliot?" Elliot makes a show of jawing directly into Hardison's face, and Hardison wrinkles his nose and tries to lean away. Nobody warns you of the dangers of werewolf breath before you start working with them, honestly. "Elliot, come on, give him a little room," Nate says. Elliot pulls back a bit, and he's still very much on the damn bed and not looking like he'll get off it anytime soon. What is Hardison's life, seriously? But now that he doesn't have a werewolf glaring right in his face, Hardison can take stock of the dull ache in his side and how incredibly high he is right now. "Got me on the good stuff, huh?" he says. "Nothing but the best for you," Nate says, and the hardiness of his voice tips Hardison off to how uneasy he clearly is, even before Hardison looks over to see him rocking back and forth on his heels. "Mannox?" Hardison asks. "Oh, he's in jail," Nate promises, his uneasiness replaced by a dark satisfaction. "In jail, and so broke he won't have anyone to call but a public defender for his trial. No, everything worked according to plan." Elliot growls loudly at this, as he hops off the bed. "Aside from the obvious," Nate adds, gesturing at the bed with Hardison in it. "Right, okay, bad guy in jail, Hardison safe in a hospital, and three werewolves standing guard, plus Nate, except, no, wait. Sophie's here, Elliot is here, but... where is Parker?" Hardison asks before he can think, looking around the room for her blonde hair, her intense stare. The silence from everyone answers him, even before he looks from the space where Parker should be to Nate's apologetic face. "Hardison," Sophie begins awkwardly, and Hardison shakes his head. "Never mind," he says, letting his eyes fall shut once more. "A stupid question I shouldn't have asked." And he shouldn't have, because he knows Parker better than that. He knows what she'll do, what she can't do, at least not yet. "Elliot, no!" Nate warns again, and Hardison opens his eyes, just in time to see Elliot climb onto the bed again, but this time he doesn't stop, wedging himself against Hardison's uninjured side, all solid weight and muscle, a faint, musky smell that even Hardison's human nose can spot. "Oh, Elliot," Sophie sighs, but she doesn't seem at all surprised. "Elliot, come on," Nate tries, but Hardison lifts up his hand. "It's okay," he says slowly. He can feel the faint rhythm of Elliot's heartbeat, and tries to match his own breathing to it. "It's okay, we're good." Elliot's ears flick forward at that, but he stays still. Carefully, Hardison lets himself reach over and lets his hand sink into Elliot's coarse brown fur. Elliot rumbles in approval, and distantly, Hardison hears Sophie urge Nate to leave with her, to leave Hardison and Elliot alone in the room. "The nurses already hate us," he hears Nate complain. but it is faint, and after that, there is just the click of the door shutting closed behind them. Hardison flexes his fingers in the fur of Elliot's coat, and he closes his eyes for just a minute. The next time that Hardison wakes up, he is alone in the hospital bed. The room is dark, and his throat is painfully dry, his side throbbing with a pain too great to be ignored. He fumbles with the plunger that delivers morphine into his system, groaning as he does it. God damn it, being stabbed sucks. Shh! He hears someone say from the dark, and Hardison blinks, disoriented, as Parker steps forward, her face illuminated by the light coming in through the window in the door. It's okay, it's just me. And me, Elliot's voice says, and Hardison turns to see the faint shadow of Elliot sitting in a chair by Hardison's bed. His voice sounds rusty, hoarse. Hardison licks his dry lips. Water, he rasps out. Of course, Elliot says quickly, getting out of his chair to grab something from the nightstand by Hardison's bed. Here, we got some ice chips for you. He doesn't bother to give Hardison the cup himself, just spoons a couple of ice chips into Hardison's mouth and says, in that rare, soothing voice of his,
just let them melt in your tongue. Don't try to chew.
Hardison closes his eyes as the ice melts on his tongue, cold and refreshing. Once he's had enough, he waves Elliot off. I'm good. Now that his eyes have adjusted to the darkness, he can see the unhappy curve of Elliot's mouth, the way concern is radiating off him in waves. And Parker. Parker is a stiff line of misery, her arms wrapped tightly around herself, her mouth pinched. They say that werewolves can read people like nobody else, and it is true. Even Parker can pick up more signals from people than Hardison would ever be able to, what with the enhanced senses and all. But right here, right in this moment, Hardison can read this tool like nobody else. I'm okay, guys, he promises them both. I'm gonna be all right. This time, Parker says darkly, this time you're going to be okay. What happens the next time when we can't reach you fast enough? Hardison can't answer that, so instead he holds out his hand. Parker, come here. She doesn't move, not right away, and he adds a soft, please? Parker inhales and comes towards him in a quick stride, taking his hand in a tight grip. She stares down at her interlaced fingers with a fierce frown and says at last, choking on the words, I heard you scream over the comm. Her face crumples. We heard you scream and we couldn't. I couldn't. It's okay, Hardison says helplessly. He looks from Parker's crumpled face to Elliot, who looks just as wrecked as she does. Guys, I'm still here. I'm right here. Parker, one of the toughest people Hardison's ever known, sobs at that just once before she lifts his hand up and presses it to her cheek, rubbing his fingers against her soft skin. I'm gonna. Elliot starts, his voice hoarse. Gonna leave you guys to it. But his face is full of longing as he says it, and he doesn't actually get up from his chair. No, Parker says fiercely, turning to glare at him, and Hardison shakes his head. Nah, man, he says, holding out his free hand to Elliot. An invitation. If he wants it. If he wants them. I don't know about Jill, but I don't feel like being alone tonight. Elliot stares at Hardison's hand for a long moment, then reaches out to hold it in a grip, every bit as tight as Parker's.
Yeah,
he says, and Hardison's probably hearing things because, for a second, his voice sounds choked up, too.
Yeah, I can help with that.
Parker is slowly running her thumb over Hardison's knuckles, and Elliot's hand is warm in his. Hardison looks between them, at the two people he's wanted more than he's wanted anything in his entire life, and he can't be anything but grateful. No matter how awful the day's been, no matter that he's in a hospital bed with a thumb hole on his side, in this exact moment, Hardison is nothing but thankful. Elliot stares at Hardison and says carefully,
"You ever do something like this again, I'm gonna kick your damn ass, hear me?"
Hardison makes a show of deliberately rolling his eyes, even as his eyelids start to feel heavy.
"You act like I was trying to get stabbed." "I will put my teeth in your goddamn throat,"
Elliot promises, enunciating for the greater emphasis, and Parker lets out a tiny snort. "I wouldn't test him on this," she tells him. "He means it."
"God damn it, I can tell he means..."
Hardison breaks off to John loudly, but finishes in a sleepy drawl.
"Why do you think I'm trying to point out?"
"It's okay," Parker says, and anyone who didn't know Parker would be shocked at how gentle her voice is. "It's okay. Get some rest. We are here." Hardison feels something in him unwind at those words.
"Okay. Can we have dinner together when I get out of here?" "I'll cook you something,"
Elliot promises in a low voice, and Hardison smiles, his eyes falling shut as he does. "It's a date, then," Parker agrees, sounding pleased.
I'm gonna hold you out both to that," Hardison promises, his voice starting to slur a little. "Yeah, I'm counting on it,"
Elliot says softly, and that's the last thing Hardison hears, and he falls asleep again. In the morning, the nurse that comes by to check on Hardison gives a shriek at seeing two grown wolves, one brown, one a silvery white, lying on her patient's bed, staring right back at her. Neither Parker or Elliot bothers to change back to their human forms, and they stare the poor woman down as she comes in. Parker even makes a show of licking her chops, which is so over the top, but effective too, if the nurse's face is any indication.
"Sorry about that,"
Hardison says, but the fond grin on his face probably isn't helping to sell the apology.
"Don't worry, though. They are with me."
The end. This has been recorded for Potawin, for the trick Werewolves, and for Podfic Bingo, for the prompt Repod Cold. So I went and looked at all the podfics tagged for Werewolves, and then I looked at all the authors and checked that they had blanket permission, and found this one, and I thought it sounded neat, so I repotted it. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed listening to me. And please remember to drink some water today.